Welcome everyone to another episode of Hip Hop Soiree. You got me as always, DJ Goose.
And Poppy.
And we're back. It's been a little while, just a lot of circumstances happened in our personal lives. And that kind of took our toll in getting everything ready, but we want to get this done as soon as possible just because it is February and it is known to be Black History Month, and we wanted to go over the history or the origin of hip-hop, because it's one that I think is people are not recognizing just because of where hip-hop is now and what's considered popular, but don't really understand what hip-hop really is about. Not what it was, but what it at its core is.
It still stands for it, too, for sure.
Yeah, so we're going to get into that. We want to go into a little bit of news, though. This is kind of old, like maybe 2 weeks old, but I just wanted to address it. Is 21 Savage. So he came out with a new song with J. Cole. And just 2 weeks ago, though, he was caught by ICE and he was detained. And everyone found out that he was actually an undocumented citizen here. And I guess from what I understand, he came here when he was 7. And he, with a visa, he overstayed his welcome, and he just, it never got renewed. I know that, according to the information, he's not detained anymore, but he's still waiting trial, and so he still faces deportation. He, according to the information from lawyers and from other people, that he was working on getting his papers or getting something sorted out. I don't know if he qualified for DACA or not, because I don't know how old he is, but he was in process of doing it, and then ICE got him. And that was just, to me, it's just kind of odd that happened. Like, because they're saying that the government was aware of it, but yet they still went ahead and did this. I don't know, Poppy. What are your thoughts on this one? Because it's an odd situation. No one thought this.
It didn't. I mean, I don't really care much for. I'm not saying I hope he gets deported. I'm just saying I never followed him.
Right.
So I don't know if that was ever documented anywhere that he was not originally from the U.S. I just base. My understanding of him is he's a rapper from Atlanta. He's on the trap scene. I find his voice to be boring and his lyrics are unenergetic and they don't mean much, at least not the songs I've heard. So he's always flown like under my radar. So when I heard he might get deported, I was like, ICE, detained by ICE. I'm like, what the hell? Why would an Atlanta rapper be detained by ICE? And then, oh, apparently he's from the UK. And for the first like 3 days, this is a lie. I don't know where the fuck the lie's coming from, but... I mean, it's honestly now valid. I really thought it was a lie and it was a hoax to get like publicity stunt, because I'm a conspiracy theorist and I even think some beefs happen just a mere publicity stunt.
Uh-huh.
So when I heard that, I thought that's what it was, but apparently it all seems to be true. I do like that some people, you know how they always have that hashtag free whoever rapper, right?
Yeah.
I don't agree with it in some cases. In this case, I do agree with it. And I like that there are people that step up to the plate, and instead of just hashtagging it, they actually do something about it. Jay-Z being kind of the main individual, kind of paying for like the lawyer fees or whoever the attorneys.
Right.
And he did the same for Meek Mill. I think he spent well over $1 million in efforts to help release him and help with the whole social injustices that they may face. And back to what you were mentioning, it is Black History Month, and I think that's something we need to acknowledge. And in hip hop, it still stands for it. In the mainstream aspect, it's swept under the rug for a number of reasons, some that I think are factual, others that I have my own theories about that I feel have pretty good weight. But at its core, it's meant to be uplifting. It's supposed to be about peace, coming up from nothing and making yourself something and bettering your situation regardless of what you're currently facing. It appeals to me. I like it. And I want people to understand that. And unless you're either – I don't consider myself a hip-hop head. I consider myself a hip-hop enthusiast. But whether you're an enthusiast or an actual hip hop head, I think most people in that realm, or if they categorize or resonate with that, understand that piece. If you're a casual listener, that's great that you listen to it casually. Maybe kind of those messages get over your head, or you don't care, which is fine. But in this particular podcast, I think we'll pay homage to it and kind of give you the insights as to the origins of hip hop. But I don't think 21 fits it. Again, not basis. I don't want him to be deported by any means. I mean, I hope he gets to stay, just because I don't necessarily feel that that's a valid reason for him to leave. But yeah, I think he'll end up staying.
Yep.
Another conspiracy. I mean, he has tons of money, obviously. I'm going to imagine he makes six-digit sums, maybe 7 yearly. And that's money that if he spends stateside, that's more money in our government's pocket. We all know how much our government loves money, so why not keep that money here in our pockets? Yep, if he were some nobody, they would have left him. Like, deported him already, I feel, but
yeah, but we don't know. We'll have to figure out what his ultimate sentence will be. But yeah, I wanted to bring up one more thing before I actually go into this, because you brought it up about Tekashi.
Yeah, he's a snitch now. What was going on with this guy? I've seen, as much as I don't like him, but there are aspects I do like. I've mentioned it before. I love that hip-hop is very empowering and about kind of, you know, it's having a self-esteem, almost to the point of egotism. Some artists that have egotism, not that we need that, but it's kind of a nice balance as far as the lack of self-esteem. So here's some kid who goes on the radio constantly saying, "You want to test my gangsta? Test my gangsta." And then he's being tested now, and he's snitching on everybody just so he can cut a deal. I don't know his circumstance, whatever the case may be, but he always acted like he wasn't a snitch, that he was purely gangster, and as much as it was a front to sell CDs or whatever the case may be, which it is what it is. If he wants to make money that way, he wants to make money. But now he's paying for it despite everyone warning him not to mess with that kind of shit. So
he's made like tons of just poor decisions in general from the beginning of his career. Like, he's boasting about all this crime that he's done. And I'm just like, why are you doing that? Like, you don't want to brag. Like, there's a lot of people that are gangsters that they don't like go around to McDonald's or go around and be, "Hey, I just showed up this guy," or "What up?" Like,
it would make no sense. You're putting yourself out there. If you want to be doing that, you stay on the low.
And you're in the limelight now? Like, no. Obviously, the FBI or someone's going to be like, "Let's look into this, what this guy actually is doing."
Yeah. Fat Joe said they tried for the longest time to get him. And I mean, it's ridiculous that, I mean, hopefully he learns. I don't know. I mean, the kid is getting what you, I mean, you get consequences, whether it be good or bad, for whatever decisions you make. Clearly, he's made some pretty poor choices, as you mentioned, and whether legally or just karma-wise, something's going to be sought out in terms of justice. So that's ridiculous. You reap what you sow, literally. So, and they have him on film, like in a robbery.
Yeah.
Why would you record that? And I mean, I don't know. It's just the way you can hack into technology. Because even if people are like, "Oh, if you record it just to prove that you did it," I was like, that doesn't matter in a digital age where everything's wirelessly connected. You can tap into anyone's phone, hack into it with mere apps, like free apps, download the video and have the proof. So it's ridiculous, the fact that somebody had it recorded.
Yeah, just whatever, Tekashi. I mean, I wish you the best in in prison, but I don't see you going anywhere.
I don't see prison going well for him. No. Unless he's in isolation, it's not going well for him at all.
He's probably gonna ask for that. "Come on, just put me in there." He'll act up just to get in isolation.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh my gosh. But okay, so let's get into our main topic. Stop talking about these fools here. Kind of going into our subject, I just wanted to preface this or kind of give like a prologue to this. Prologue is epilogue. Now my mind went blank. Anyway, I just want to talk about something beforehand. The African American Black community that's in the U.S. has it's funny because it's not funny, but it's interesting. The origin of it coming in the Western world is not a good one. Like, they came in here as slaves, as being property, not even being considered humans for the longest time. And when they first were considered to be a person, it was 3/5 of a person. And it took so long for them to get their actual footing in society as equals. And even then, like, when it was supposed to be official, like, they were still oppressed. And, you know, music has always been a huge part in their community. Like, going back to slavery, like, with the Underground Railroad, to give messages away, they'd sing songs as they were working. And a lot of the owners thought, "Oh, just their song, just to keep them like lively or while they're working," but they're just sending messages. So, you know, music has always been an important part in that community. And, you know, after the civil rights movement, you know, I think a lot of people thought, like, this is it, this is our chance. And unfortunately, it wasn't at that time just yet. They still were having tons of problems with integration, with just everything. So it looked really bleak. At this point, this is the late 60s, early 70s. And what's interesting is that also at that time, the U.S. wasn't doing too hot in terms of music-wise. Like, you know, the disco came and dropped so fast. And you know, the community was trying to find something new to grasp on. And all these different roads that had different things coming in all converged in the 70s to make what we now know as hip hop. And so we wanted to take a little, talk a little about what those roads were, and how it all came together. So Poppy, like, I know we're kind of just freeballing here, but like, what, I guess, is, what do you want to add to this, or what kind of, what road or?
I think I want to give context in regards to this. You mentioned civil rights, which it's big. And obviously, again, this is a hip hop, and you'll, as we talk about it and kind of develop, hopefully more of the, throughout the podcast, is a platform for a voice, specifically for the Black community. Its origins being in the Bronx. Bronx, if anyone's ever been, or if you know anything about the Bronx, heavy Black and Latino community. So there's brown and Black people there, an abundance of them. That was the origin, is the Bronx, New York.
Ask anyone.
That's kind of a well-known fact. Anyone who's an enthusiast typically would know that. But as far as civil rights go, 1870 is when the 15th Amendment was made, where you can't deny, and I'm obviously paraphrasing the amendment, you can't deny someone the ability to vote based on race, color, or like previous condition of servitude, or I don't know how they phrase it. So if you were previously a slave, but you're still alive, by 1870, based on the 15th Amendment, you were able to vote. Mm-hmm. Well, exclusively in the South. I'm sure it may have happened in the North, but again, prominently in the South, who wanted the slaves, found ways around that. Through by fraud, through intimidation, by threatening to kill their families or whatever the case may be, through poll taxes, which you couldn't afford if you were formerly a slave, right? You made zero to no money. Yeah. Like, you made almost very little to no money, and even literacy tests. And if you were a slave, they weren't teaching you how to read. So unfortunately, those people didn't know how to read, so they would fail literacy tests. Oh, guess you don't get to vote. Almost an entire century goes by. Okay, 1965, 95 years later, they finally closed that loophole and that gap to where you couldn't deny someone based on literacy tests, and even like poll taxes, I think, were removed from it. So by like 1969 or something, about, I believe, and any history buff, get mad at me later, but I think about 67% of the Black community in the southern states alone now had registered to vote, when before they were denied that right. And that is important because voting, at least in how this country was established, is a voice of the people, right? Like, that's how essentially, USA is founded on people, and their right to vote is a way to express their opinions, their viewpoints, their morals, whatever the case may be, their values. And that was not accurate. You're completely missing an entire demographic. And while they are a minority, I know whites have the biggest demographic, it's still a good chunk.
Yeah,
and even more so now, obviously, as just natural interracial relationships grow. So could you imagine all of these people not being able to vote? You and I would not have the right to vote right now either. So to put that into context, 1870, they should have had the right to vote. Because people were corrupt and still are racist and still are today, 95 whole years go by, and most Southern people weren't even – most Southern Black people specifically were not able to vote. So – now we can kind of lean into why hip hop was so important and what it means to that community and why they protect it so much. If you are a true hip hop enthusiast or a hip hop head, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I wanted to set that up for contents because, as we mentioned, it is a platform for them to voice their opinions, their experiences, social injustices. It's their form to get out there because obviously back then there was no Twitter, there was no Facebook. There was wax, there was vinyl. They're going to put it on something. And while explicit sometimes or even vulgar, it is their reality. And that's how it was shared. And as much as disco went away quickly, everyone thought hip hop was going to die.
Oh, yeah.
When right now it's probably the most prevalent form of music in one shape or another. Find me a country who doesn't have some probable similar art form to hip hop.
It's even like I've talked about this before. It's even in people, you know, a lot of people now in the U.S. like K-pop, and even K-pop, there are groups, girl groups and guy groups, that have a specific person or two people. You're like, you're the rapper of the group, so that's your part in here. So, like I said, it's in there, and yeah. It's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And kind of going back into the, you know, we were giving context of this platform, talking about that platform, there's two big influences that come to mind about about a platform. So, and one has to do with churches, especially black churches, and the spoken word. So one thing that I was reading about was, you know, in churches, like if you go to a lot of churches, just in the South in general, a lot of Protestant churches, they're very lively. You know, they want to engage the crowd in the sermon. And sometimes they'll say, you know, something, they'll say something, people out there, they're like, amen, or hallelujah, all this stuff, getting people engaged. And one of the people that did this, not necessarily for religion, but spoken word, was Muhammad Ali, which I was like, that had to make sense. Because if you really look at what he was doing, like, he was always talking. Well, first of all, he started like dissing, like, you know, people, like, always telling them, like, you know, I'm going to beat you in this round, or like this, I am the greatest, very boastful. And he even has like an album. I think it's called like, I Am the Greatest. It's like a spoken word. He's just talking, just basically talking himself up. And a lot of people give credit to Muhammad Ali, which I was reading, I was like, that actually makes more sense. I didn't understand that it was something that was before him, but people were like, you know what he's saying and what he's doing is something that we want to do as well. And you just have to listen to his album. I don't know if you've ever heard it, Poppy, but it's just a.
I have not.
It's so funny because it's like, it sounds like he's just live, like in a like they're just doing like a live comedy show, because people are just laughing or just saying something. And one of the lines that he said, I just wanted to talk a little bit. He's like, this guy can't beat me. He's like, I saw him shadow boxing. The shadow won. I guess that part also, like, just talking about one road was the spoken word in black churches, and having rhymes and having something to talk about, whether it's for yourself or a theme or a subject, and not necessarily singing in it, but just doing in a rhythmic and a stylistic way to engage the people, which again is one aspect of hip hop. You know, we talk about flow and cadence and all that. That it comes from, at least that's one part where it comes from, which again is one just kind of small road to connect to that, that we should obviously like, what's the word? I don't even know what the word is, but it's something we should focus on, something that we should always remember, like that part of that part that ends up, you know, as the. I lost my train of thought, puppy. Interject here.
You're good.
It's just the overall hip hop origin. Like, that's just a road that I was saying.
I don't necessarily know where you want to take it from here.
Not necessarily, but just kind of like I said, there's multiple things that we could talk about. I just kind of want to say, like, I just want to, at least for maybe a few more minutes, just kind of talk about what kind of led to it.
Yeah.
And then kind of go into like the burst.
Okay. Well, here's my thought, I guess. I don't know if this is of any historic value. I guess this is just, again, my perception on it, right? I'll use an analogy. I like using analogies. Soccer is the most popular sport in the world, hands down. There's no arguing. It is it's fact. I think one of the reasons that it is so popular is because, regardless of how impoverished you are, all you need really to play a soccer, if you think about it, a game of soccer, other than players, is a ball. Because, you need goalposts to understand it, but anything can be a goalpost. If you have two bottles, you just say, kick between those bottles. That's the goal. Insert any object, right? Just anything, a shirt, whatever. It's on the ground. There's your goalpost. So regardless of how poor you are, if you happen to have a ball, whether it's a soccer ball or not, just a sphere you can kick around that doesn't obviously harm your feet. I think part of that appeal that it was so accessible for people made it the biggest sport that it is in the world today. Now, going back to hip hop, if you really think about it, you mentioned it's a spoken word, right? You don't have to have vocal talent to be able to, because it's not a, you don't sing the form of hip hop. So hip hop is the culture. Rap is considered the verb that you use to verbally express what you want to, whether it be something with a lot of content behind it or just nonsense freestyling, whatever the case may be. So if you think about hip hop at its core, fundamentally, all you need might be a beat that you can have someone beatbox for you, and they just have that rhythmic cadence, or you can beat on the desk or the table or a wall, and you just make a rhythm. And that, at its core, that is what rapping needs: a beat and a spoken word. And if you can get both, that's readily accessible in impoverished areas, right, where it was created in the Bronx in the 60s and 70s, extremely poor. Where they, I mean, granted, obviously the guy had a sound system, tables to turn the, you know, whatever the case may be, but in its purest form, I think the reason it resonated with people is because they'd hear someone do it. They didn't need a band. They didn't need a piano. All they could do is hit their hands on a desk, recite whatever's on their mind, have it rhyme or structure it the way they wanted to, and there's your rap. So it was accessible to people.
Yeah, and I think that's the – having that accessibility really helped me, like you said, people in the Bronx and going into the actual birth of hip-hop. Obviously, we have to talk about DJ Kool Herc. So the funny thing is I didn't know he was from Jamaica, that he was like came from Jamaica, stuff that they've
done there. Or was he from Jamaica, New York?
I thought he said Jamaica.
I'll look it up real quick.
Look it up real quick. He might be from Jamaica, New York, but he started having a lot of block parties in Brooklyn. And what he did was that he'd have his turntables, and the cool thing that he did, and again, talking about the just, you know, a lot of rap is the percussion is doing, because those beats are, you don't need an instrument, you can do it with your hands, you do whatever. But he take the breakdowns that are in like jazz songs, funk songs, and he would just loop it. He'd have two of the same records, and he just looped that part where it would just break down, and that's what people were like, oh dang. And then he, at that point, he would start emceeing, which now when we talk about MC, talking about the rapper, the person, but if you're actually DJ or if you do something, the MC is the one that's supposed to hype the people up.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like, you know, when I say something, you say blah, da, da. Like, they do whatever to get the party going. So he started doing this for that. He started doing this. People just love going to these parties, to these block parties, to the point that they couldn't hold it in churches or stuff anymore. They had to do it in parks. And kind of going back, you know, that this is, that the message is positive, that he was doing this because he wanted these kids there, like, they get into drugs, they get into gangs in the 70s, 60s. Like, people were starting to go to these instead of going and joining gangs and shooting up people. Like, even like breakdancing, when it started coming, they were called B-boys and B-girls. Like, people were having these battles instead of shooting each other. Like, it's really amazing to see how the hip-hop culture was starting to already change people in their communities, despite, you know, them being impoverished.
Yeah, and then, I mean, FYI, I looked it up. He is from Kingston, Jamaica, so he's actually from the country. Oh, I thought he was from the neighborhood Jamaican, yeah. Queens.
I'm Jamaica. That's my bad accent. Don't do it.
Jamaica man.
Jamaica man.
But, yeah, to your point, it was it's still uplifting. And I'm trying. It's kind of hard, I think, to put in context. And again, I never experienced what it was like. I mean, I've seen those places. When I visit Puerto Rico, you could tell, like, the super poor areas. And
yeah,
I imagine at some point, like, the Bronx was similar in some regards to it. I mean, again, kind of the diversity in terms of the color of people. And I know people, in order to move on from racism, want to omit color. But I've always understood and felt it was necessary to acknowledge each other's differences, but not to judge each other by them, right? So, again, Bronx, New York, black, brown people, they felt oppressed by the government. They never got help from it. Municipal housing, that's not a place you want to be in, because the system is set up for you to fail. It's set up for you to stay on welfare. It's set up for you to never get out. You're perpetually on some sort of, like, oppression, because historically speaking, the people that were in the government at the time were essentially white, and some of them racist. Mm-hmm. Some blatantly so. Others may not have come out with it. So they felt that the best way to keep people under their thumb is to provide minimal resources on an educational basis, so they cannot educate themselves to get out of that kind of that community. So right. It was basically a jail, right? It was a bigger concept of jail, and to this day, it kind of still exists as well. Thankfully, I think the ease of use of technology and kind of how it's been democratized has allowed people to educate themselves better. Still, I think there's some people that are really crafty with it, and blind people, and some people are foolish to believe everything they see or read on the internet. You know, it's difficult. I think woke, I know, is a term I don't necessarily like using, but it makes sense, and I it makes perfect sense, and it's extremely applicable. So kind of seeing how that evolved from you know, b-boying, which is a positive movement. Again, that's breakdancing. It originated also in New York.
Yep.
Seeing all of that stem from it and how its outreach kind of changed, because that was meant for urban poverty type people, community kind of, again, voice their concerns, a way to vent, therapeutic for them in nature. If you see a lot of iconic rap artists like Nas, I think even Tupac, I haven't really seen many Tupac interviews, but Jay-Z, even people like Rick Ross, who you wouldn't guess would say, they talk about how their music is therapeutic to them, and they feel it's part of how they share their experiences and hoping people learn from them, and they go back and have some sort of philanthropic kind of venues and ventures to try and provide education to people. Again, it's supposed to be kind of though, and I know I'm sound like a broken record, but it really is. Like, if you try and put yourself in their shoes and kind of view, or you don't even have to, just use a different point of view. View a community who feels that the government has put such a burden on them and refuses to listen to them. Okay, well, the one thing you can't take away from me is at least my voice. And if I put it on record and other people listen to it and they can resonate with me and feel the message, then I've done my part in helping get us to a better spot and hopefully build upon that. And it is what it is today now.
Yeah. And it's been a long time coming, you know, and again, which we're trying to hold on to, the main reason of hip hop is to be the voice of the people, and to really bring out the issues that they go through, that this community has gone through, or anyone, like, or, you know, individually, because, you know, like, because rap isn't just exclusive to, you know, the Black community. It started there, but, you know, there's other people that have of different colors that have come out of, become really good rappers and have added their voice to this. One of the things about hip hop, like you said, people didn't think that it was gonna stay, because it was something against the grain. It was very different than the music that was available or that was popular at the time, and it just the song, some of the few songs, the first few years, like, because the point that people talk about hip hop being like having its debut was in 1979. There was the Rapper's Delight that came out, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five were starting to come up, and actually one of the ones that people start to point out that it was like a great turning point was in 1982 when The Message came out with Grandmaster Flash, because it really showed us that you can have this dope beat and he's still talking about like what's going on in his neighborhood, like in his bad, like it's kind of sad what's going on, but he's making it aware and people are listening and reciting his stuff and they're like, oh dang, like his life is not that good, like where he's coming from, he and his community still isn't that good, and he wants people to know. And then people, like the other one that they that people want always like point out is like I think the first gold certified record was, I think, Run DMC's, which was like, I don't think it was like till like 1984.
And wasn't it only when they did it with Aerosmith when they did the, did they get the actual certification individually? I thought they only got the accolade once they teamed up and did a collaboration with Aerosmith.
I don't remember. I just remember like when that started happening, that's like when also like the Beastie Boys came out, which had a whole different like hip hop, because they were hip hop fused rock, and I was like, what the heck are these guys doing with License to Ill? I was like, what the heck?
Oh, well, I mean, if you, I guess in essence what we're talking about is kind of the development of it, right?
Yeah.
And if you think, obviously, what was it, 79 is when it was considered, I guess, actually born.
Yeah.
If you kind of see how new genre, right? And every genre is defined by a series of things, whether it be, you know, it has to have this particular beat, this particular cadence. These are all the elements that make it what it is. And in hip hop, it's kind of open to interpretation, but essentially spoken word, maybe bass laden beats, whatever the case may be with the high kicks and the drums. But if you see the art form and how they express themselves and how lyricism has changed, because I don't necessarily care for like the 80s. I understand its importance. And if the 80s didn't happen with hip hop, I wouldn't have had my favorite era being the 90s and the early 2000s. That's my favorite era. Granted, that's the kind of era I listened to, because that's what I listened to growing up, and as nostalgic purposes, and it resonated because culturally at the time it made more sense to me.
Right.
But just kind of even the lyrical dexterity and how it developed in the spoken word, it became more complex, the using stanzas, and just how poetically it kind of changed. When before, I viewed it more as a there was talent involved, obviously, and they had to recite things, but it was more of, it seemed more freestyled and not as rehearsed, or this is exactly what I want to say and how I want to say it. It just felt, let me get this stuff off my chest, where if you listen to freestyle rappers, if they're trying to do things off the top of the head, it does have a purpose, but again, kind of the lyrical nature of it has completely changed, where I think the early originators, the kind of widely known Rakim, I think late 80s is when he came out. A lot of current rapper or iconic rappers now, like the Jay-Z's, the Nas's, the Eminem's, would probably credit Rakim for being the lyrical, quote-unquote, god in the genre. So I don't, just kind of the evolution in of itself, where it seems like the genre found its own identity. And old heads is what people refer to people that like the old times, how they hate new times and they hate these new school rappers or whatever the case may be, is because they felt they lost touch with what it was for, and the identity's confused at this point, where back then it was evolving. So I would say some of the old heads do accept, if not really relish, the early 90s and even early 2000s rap, but the way it's commercialized now and marginalized just to make profits is maybe what they have issues with, which goes back to, again, the cultural aspect of it. It's hip-hop is more than just really the music aspect of it. It's an expression of culture, and
it is a culture.
You're not representing us the way we need to be represented in terms of now's music, right? Like the Lil Pumps and the Lil Xans and the whatever, the what's the one other weird, Trippy Reds and Lil Uzi Verts, all these weird names, like whatever. Some of their songs, okay, I can get behind it, but I understand how some of the old people who I grew up, and this is what got me through tough times. This is what I related to. And because I do this to this day, I'll go to work and I'll put on a track to make me feel like, okay, shit, let me get this. I'll buckle down. I'll get my report done. I'll do whatever I need to, because it makes you feel some type of way, as opposed to popping Molly's and Gucci Gang shit. But
I think there needs to, I guess, in conclusion with the thing, what needs to happen or what should be happening is, you know, not repeating what they've done in the past in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, but reflecting on what they were doing at that time to press the genre forward. We don't want to, it doesn't, the culture forward, we don't want to be stagnant. We don't want to regress in what the whole reason for all this was, you know, and I think that's why I wanted to bring this up, especially during this month, is because, you know, we love the genre. We want it to be pushed forward. Like it's at the point people have been dreaming of. You know, in the 70s, 80s, the civil rights movement. This is what they've been dreaming of. People are looking at this community, at hip hop culture, because they love, because you know, based on who they've listened to or whatever. Now's the time to voice and to become voice of the people of the culture. You know, and to promote. Basically, to promote good in the terms of, let's be better than what we were. Let's address what's happening with us right now, and let's make that better.
Yeah, and I don't want to get too, political.
Yeah, I don't want to, but
we're more about the music. But really, again, at its core, it was meant to bring peace, to be uplifting. And yes, we do have some violent context, some songs. But again, some of them are saying it like, be better than me. I go through this, so you don't have to, uplift yourself. And I use Nas because, again, the man is legendary, and he always kind of reverts back to that. And if you think about how the system's set up, right, brown and black were minorities, okay? And that's, again, kind of the origin of hip-hop. And not to get into too much of my conspiracies, but if you go to the East Coast or even the West Coast, especially in Cali, what kind of gangs are around, right? You've got certain gangs that are predominantly black or predominantly Latino, and sometimes they get along, sometimes they don't. So they're pitted against each other. There's not too many full white gangs. There are, but they're not really particularly rivaled against these other minority gangs. And I think it's kind of set up that way on purpose. And Nas says it in a song, which is one of an all-time favorite song of mine. It's Scarface song called "Do What I Do." It's kind of about exactly that, just talking about the inequalities. And Nas goes something like, "Let's see, I'm pulling up the lyrics because I don't have it all memorized.
It's okay. I'm bad at memorizing.
Yeah. It just goes, the past, Yoda, my vato's out in Los Angeles. Nieta's on the East Coast, which is a Puerto Rican gang in New York. Shouts to Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic people, huepa. Huepa is like a phrase that the Puerto Ricans use. Dominicans also as well, like, yo, like just a type of huepa. Thing, right?
Yeah.
And it says, brown and black, we must get it together. The prison industrial complex, a fucking setup. The Aztec Olmec Africans settled on this land from the get-up. So he's just saying we were meant to be here together, and he's talking specifically to the black and brown folk, which to me reverts all the way back to the origins of what hip-hop was, and he's saying we need to stop beefing with each other. We were meant to be here together and raise up together. And again, is he speaking vulgarly? Absolutely, but at its core, uplifting. So I'm glad that there are people that still resonate with that and put it in their music.
Sometimes you got to be harsh. Like, I mean, if you're not a religious person, it doesn't matter. But like in the Bible, it says like he says, I reprimand you because I love you. Meaning like sometimes you're going to speak harshly. But if it gets the point across and it gets people, like you said, woke.
Yeah. Then, yeah. If you say what you need to, as long as it's factual and real.
He's not putting anyone down. He's just being aggressive, being like, this has to stop.
Yeah. So I like that stuff. So again, that's why hip hop to me is very special, and I really enjoy Black History Month, and not because we're ignoring the whites or whatever other culture you may resonate with, but I think it's important because specifically that group of people in this states have such a terrible history. They even have a terrible history around the world, obviously, because slaves were sold around the world, but
right.
Bureaucratically, we just set them up for failure,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of stupid, but I mean, I think we're making progress. We still have a long ways to go, but why not use still that music platform that was created as a voice, as a form of movement, because it's obviously very influential.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me want to keep them going.
Yeah, but I mean, I think hopefully it was a good subject or topic of conversation. If you guys have anything you guys want to talk about, even thoughts on this podcast, which we already aired, where we can pick some good comments, if you can put some things to back it up or some context behind what your thoughts are, we'd love to share them on another podcast. But again, it's obviously something we both care about,
mm-hmm.
so we hope that came across, and that's why I judge harshly on some artists, because I think it's important to it's fun, it's good to have fun, but let's not get away from what it originally was to be.
True. There's a balance in everything. That's all we're saying, the balance. So thank you again. Thanks so much for listening. Leave us comments. You can email us at hiphopsoiree2018@gmail.com. And just keep listening, and we'll be coming out with new episodes soon. So thanks so much. This is DJ Goose.
And this is Poppy.
And this is Hip Hop Soiree.